All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way monologue. I'll remind you guys, by the way, that Stan McDonald, attorney in Huntsville, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. Stan McDonald is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. We are grateful for that, and I'll tell you more about him here in just a little bit. So let's talk about spending. Let's talk about spending in D.C. And let's talk about what it means the way they're going about the spending, all right? I mean, we've all had times, right? I'm sure we have. We've all had times when we had to rob Peter to pay Paul. And by that, I'm sure that most folks listening to this have had those days where paying one bill meant not paying another. Or for that matter, maybe you've had times when some very important bills got paid on a credit card. And it can be extremely frustrating. And if you're not careful, it can get away from you in a hurry. I mean, to this day, I'm not sure how our family made it through my late in life decision to go to law school. I mean, I was in my early 30s with a wife, two kids, a dog, and a mortgage. And now I go to law school? Well, I did. But with careful application of a second mortgage on the house, a little bit of GI Bill, two very modest day job paychecks, and a credit card, the shell game played out for 3 years. I mean, using the credit card to pay for daily trips to Birmingham for class, paying down the balance as best we could, drawing from the credit line to pay tuition when the GI Bill was short, and then paying it back down, and then drawing it up again when the regular paycheck got somewhat irregular at times. It was 3 years of financial tightrope walking. But God was faithful. I graduated. I'm a lawyer now for over 20 years. Somehow the light stayed on. The kids always had Christmas. And Charlene, man, I can tell you right now, I've probably told this story before, but she was a miracle worker. Charlene used to sit down literally every month and plan out dinner for every night for the next month. Every single night. And then she would take stock of what we had in the cupboard, and she'd make a shopping list for how to make each meal, and then she'd go to the store and buy it all. I remember once being in a group of friends, and somebody was complaining about the cost of groceries, and I told them how Charlene handled our groceries, and they were impressed, but their appreciation turned to shock when I told them that she fed a family of four and a dog for about $250 a month. And one lady said, "My word, I spend that every week." And I look back and think, okay, there weren't many vacations, but the kids always had new clothes for school. And truthfully, we didn't lack for anything. And in my recollection, there was still a lot of laughter in the house. And we have said many times, too, that we look back on the times and we do not take for granted where we are now, not by a stretch. But Charlene and I learned firsthand what it means to live within our means. Do we have some debt? Sure. We still have a mortgage on our beautiful house. But generally speaking, we're doing what many of you are doing. We're trying to be responsible as we try to live within our means. But then there's the federal government. Because apparently the federal government is allowed to operate in a spending deficit at every turn. Deficit spending is a term that every American should know firsthand. It is literally defined as, and here's an actual quote, quote, "government spending in excess of revenue of funds raised by borrowing rather than from taxation." You know what the bottom line is? The bottom line is that where Charlene and I threaded the financial needle to get through law school, with the understanding that every dime of debt we incurred would have to be repaid, Congress never feels that same pinch. You see, deficit spending is illusory. It presents to the world the false notion that you've got it when you really don't. It is spending more than you got, but somehow in the halls of Congress, that's allowed. Again, and again, and again. Every year, the United States government collects revenue from taxes and spends it on public programs and agencies. If any given year it spends more than it earns, its yearly budget then results in a deficit. And to cover the deficit, the U.S. Treasury has to borrow money by selling securities like treasury bills, notes and bonds, and savings bonds to the public. I mean, it's just like an individual who spends more than what he earns will have to borrow the missing amount from a credit card. But the accumulated deficits, year after year, from the outstanding U.S. national debt? Wow. I mean, hey, why not just spend it like you got it, right? This week, a Republican House put together a spending extravaganza that comes at a time when our national debt currently sits at just a little over $36 trillion. Let that sink in, $36 trillion. Conservatives were immediately angry, and this so-called budget process, I'll be honest with you, it's absolutely broken. In Alabama, at the state level, our state constitution requires that we form and pass a balanced budget. But in D.C., they have no such requirement. But what they do have is an open process that's supposed to be used. It's called the appropriations process. It's each department is supposed to send in their request. They get hammered out. They get debated. And the so-called regular order of business requires that each subcommittee to appropriations, like transportation, public health, and all the rest, They send in their budgets to all be compiled into one large budget, each portion having already been debated and passed out of committee. The last time that happened was in the final year of Trump's first term. Right now, instead, the politically savvy big spenders in charge have chosen instead to do two things. One is they keep raising the debt ceiling, which is like getting more credit on your credit card, and then pass a continuing resolution, which is like saying, yeah, we'll just keep doing what we did before. Except that they load the continuing resolution with new spending and regulations. So, I mean, is it really a continuance at that point? Not really. This week, the House almost went down that road again. And the Trump effect came careening in like a Mack truck blowing an air horn. Trump and Vance and Musk and Ramaswamy and a host of conservatives and the grassroots of America all called for it to stop. And it actually appears to have gotten their attention. The CR that they were floating is now currently off the table. And we may see a so-called clean CR with no pork actually get passed. I don't know yet. A slight raise in the debt ceiling may be necessary to give us room to breathe, and then we go on to real regular order of business budgeting as soon as the new GOP Senate is seated after the first of the year. But what a mess. I mean, you and I couldn't run our house like this. Because let's be clear, if you and I borrow money to do things, we know and assume the risk, right? What we're seeing in D.C., though, is more like what would happen if somebody took your credit card, went out, bought a bunch of stuff, ran up a bill you didn't know about, then walked away from it, leaving you with the debt. You didn't ask for it, but you got to pay for it. Well, it got me to thinking, has there ever been a government leader in modern U.S. history who actually worked to try and reduce our public debt in a meaningful way? And you may be interested to know there's one who was pretty epically good at it, President Calvin Coolidge. So I read a biography on Coolidge recently, and I came to an appreciation for the man. His bio from the Coolidge Foundation talks about him in detail. It says that Coolidge was elected vice president of the United States in 1920, so we're right at 100 years plus later. Coolidge succeeded to the presidency when there was the sudden death of President Warren G. Harding in August of 1923. And Coolidge went about doing what he could to restore trust and credibility to the office of the presidency. In 1924, he was actually elected in his own right for a second term. And under Coolidge, the federal budget was balanced and the national debt was reduced. When Coolidge left office in 1929, the federal budget was actually lower than when he arrived at the White House 67 months before. He liked to say, I'm for economy, and after that, I'm for more economy. The nation fared so well under Coolidge that people talked about what they termed Coolidge prosperity. The Coolidge decade saw great technological advances, including the transatlantic flight of Charles Lindbergh and things like that. This was the decade when so many American homes were first electrified and the decade when the automobile became widespread. President Coolidge actually left office wildly popular, and he could have run, because back then the law allowed it, he could have run for a third term. But he then also famously chose not to run for re-election in 1928 because he said he believed the chances of having wise and faithful public service were actually increased by having the change in the presidential office after a moderate amount of time. How about that? A president who cut spending, grew the measure of prosperity for the nation as a whole, and then left the office willingly, and the budget was better off than when he found it. Doesn't that sound refreshing? So it also shows that it's possible. It doesn't show that it's easy, but it's certainly possible for a visionary leader to address fiscal policy effectively. Yeah, so Coolidge may have lived in a different time and certainly didn't take office with the debt that we see now in modern America. But his principles and his adherence to those principles, they're timeless. And they are lacking right now as Congress just continues to spend it like they got it. It's time to get back to the regular order business. It's time to actually go through the appropriations process. It's time to actually stop pretending you've got a credit card and you realize you've got the people's money in your hands and all they want is for you to be responsible with it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.